Welcome to the podcast for Sound the Trumpet, How to Blow Your Own Horn, written by Jonathan Harnum and read by me, John Harnum. Thanks for listening. You can learn more about this book and my other books at allabouttrumpet.com. There you'll also find free video lessons, a whole bunch of free PDFs with scales and lesson plans and lesson tracking and all kinds of other stuff. There are also some free MP3s related to this book. And there's also a store for many things trumpet related, including more method books, recordings, all kinds of gear for playing. So go have a visit. There's lots of free stuff there. And if you're asked for a password, password from one of my other books, the password is Lewis, as in Lewis Armstrong. We'll see you online. This podcast covers Interlude 1, The Practice of Practice. I never practice. I always play. Wanda Landowska, 1952. This chapter covers where to practice, when to practice, how to practice, what to practice, and why practice. It also includes some warm-up exercises for trumpet practice. Some terms to know. Shed, as in woodshed, a slang term hip musicians use to mean practice, as in going out to the woodshed and playing. Etude, a piece of music studied to improve technique. Metronome, a mechanical device used to keep perfect time. Tuner, a mechanical device used to monitor correct pitch. Pedal tone, a note below the normal range of trumpet, excellent for warming up the chops. And pedal tones are covered in their own chapter further in this book. Now, a word about this book. Currently, my current book project is working on a book about practice. The entire book will be about practice. And so a lot of my thinking and writing about this has changed since I wrote this, I guess, 4 years ago in 2006. I'm going to go ahead and present what's here. It's still good information. Keep an eye on the next book coming out. And if you'd like to learn more about practice and sort of hear or read what I'm writing about, I have a blog on practice. It's called The Practice of Practice. And you can find it at the website allabouttrumpet.com. So here's this earlier interlude about practice. Don't say the P word. Johann Sebastian Bach once said, "There's nothing remarkable about it. All one has to do is hit the right keys at the right time, and the instrument plays itself." It sounds sarcastic, but he was right. Music is easy. Keep telling yourself that because it's true. With enough repetition, anything becomes familiar and easy, and trumpet is no different. With the right approach, playing trumpet will eventually take little or no effort, as difficult as that might be to believe right now. But believe it, and believe that you'll get there, because that's when music gets really fun. Now, you can't just repeat everything willy-nilly and just hope that that's going to get you better. You have to repeat in a very specific way, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. So you do have to put in the time. If playing an instrument well or singing well could happen only by wanting it badly enough, there would be many, many more great musicians in the world than there are. But that's not how it works. To learn an instrument, you've got to practice. Oops, I said a bad word. I don't really like the P word. When I think of the word practice, what usually comes to mind is a boring task, one which I'm forced to do repeatedly. I prefer a friendlier P word, play. Which would you prefer saying, I've got to go practice or I've got to go play? I don't know about you, but I like the second much better. Another cool word for practice is shed, as in going out to the woodshed to play. Now, this is one of the things that's changed in my approach now. A lot of the research that's looked into practice recognizes that practice is inherently unenjoyable because you're striving really hard to do something that you can't quite do yet, and that can be frustrating, and you know, it's a problem to be solved. So in some ways that's changed, but I still like to have fun when I practice, when I play. That's just one part of the practicing. So what does play mean? You play music. It's supposed to be fun. If it's not, something might be wrong. I say might be wrong because no matter what you do in this life, no matter how much you like it, if you do it often enough, there will be times when it doesn't seem so pleasant. This is especially true when you push yourself toward improvement. It's bound to get frustrating once in a while. Not to worry, the feeling will pass. Just stick with it. In order to do something well, you have to spend a lot of time doing it. This may seem obvious, but you'd be surprised how many students, especially the younger ones, don't quite understand this. Whether it's sports or art or business or any old thing you care to name, to become something more than a beginner takes focused effort and some time. According to Dizzy Gillespie, it takes 10 years of practicing your butt off to achieve mastery. And his statements have been backed up by scientific research, which shows that to reach a very high state of mastery, a task should be repeated about a million times, which takes about 10 years. So you better get busy. Hemingway said, write 1 million words to writers interested in being better writers. So why did Mozart have to get rid of his chickens? They ran around the yard saying, bok, 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 bok. A note on private teachers. No book can teach you everything, or teach it as well as a good private teacher can. The fastest way to learn anything is one-on-one, just you and the teacher in a room. Half an hour a week is pretty standard for beginners, but an hour is better. A good trumpet teacher can save you years of time and show you tricks that make playing much easier and more rewarding. A good teacher knows what songs you can handle, knows which ones are fun, and will show you things that you aren't doing quite right as well as how to do them better. A good teacher also provides positive feedback and encouragement to you, the student. This is perhaps the most valuable asset a teacher can have for beginners. And I have some research that actually backs this up that shows that people who succeed and persist in music often have as their first teacher someone who's very nurturing and caring and excited about music, and, you know, that's very important. So, good teacher is invaluable. Find one, study with him or her until you've soaked up all you can. It's usually 2 to 4 years. Then find another one and do it all over again. You'll learn the most this way, the fastest this way, and you'll never regret the money you spend. It's well worth it. Good teachers aren't cheap, though, and if you can't afford one, you have several options. One good alternative, especially if you're a beginner, is to find someone who plays your instrument and is further along than you are. High school student, college student. Another way is to find musicians that will let you hang out with them while they play. You can pick up a lot of free tips this way just by paying attention, often just by listening and watching, and asking questions if that's allowed. So how much is enough? Keep in mind that the more time you spend on trumpet, the quicker you'll get better. Play that thing as much as you can. You should be aware of a few things, though. Your desire to play, your ability on the instrument, and how much time you can make to play. I purposely didn't say how much time you can spare, because nobody can spare time. Everyone's always busy. Dizzy Gillespie used to carry his trumpet around with him everywhere he went when he was a kid, and played it all the time. There is a limit to that. Some research shows that 4 hours seems to be the upper limit for musicians anyway, for practicing a day, like really hard practice, not necessarily just playing. So keep that in mind. The very best answer is play as much as you feel like. This may seem like a cop-out answer, but let me explain. Playing is supposed to be enjoyable, first and foremost. Never forget that. When you learn something new, there's the very high possibility of frustration. And especially when you're really, really practicing hard, it's effortful. It takes some work. You know, you've got to be willing to work. So when you learn something new, this frustrating thing, you should try to avoid being frustrated. Don't avoid working hard. But if you're frustrated, that means something might be off a little bit. Take a break, you know, see what's going on, where the frustration's coming from, and make a note to address what the issue is that's causing the frustration. Maybe, you know, maybe you're just hungry or something. So just walk away from it for a bit. Try to figure out why you're frustrated. Pick up the horn later in the day or tomorrow and address whatever was making you frustrated, like having a snack. So desire. The single most valuable thing you have is your desire to play music, and you want to foster it. Imagine yourself playing somewhere. Have goals set about what you want to do and where you want to play. I mean, anywhere. You could be on stage in front of 10,000 screaming fans. You could be at Carnegie Hall. You could be at the local coffee shop. You could be playing a song for a loved one, or even in a room alone, playing for yourself. There are many excellent players in the world who play only for personal enjoyment, and there's nothing wrong with that. Use your imagination to see yourself performing. Keep with it, and you'll get to experience it. Desire will keep you motivated through exercises and repetitions and slumps in mood and maybe even some of the frustrations that I was mentioning. The only problem with desire is that it's not like a metronome. You can't bop down to the local music store and pick some up, so you've got to foster it, be aware of it, and help it grow. You can't buy it, but there are some ways to increase it. Live music is best. Oliver Wendell Holmes said, Take a music bath once or twice a week for a few seasons, and you will find that it is to the soul what the water bath is to the body. The single most beneficial thing to your development as a musician is to go see and hear music performed live. It will increase your desire to play more than just about any other thing you can do. There are many places to hear live music, coffee shops, concerts, even just sitting around a friend's living room and listening to her play. Somehow seeing music being made right in front of you makes it more real, more within reach. Recordings are great, but live is better. Ask your teacher where to find live music around your town if you don't know. And a really cool piece of research that I've discovered since writing this is there's this thing called mirror neurons. And a mirror neuron are neurons in your head that when you watch someone do something, the same neurons fire in your head as fire in order to actually do the thing. This was discovered in a lab. They were monitoring the brains of monkeys, and one of the researchers came in licking an ice cream cone, and one of the monkeys who was watching that, the neurons in the monkey's brain fired in the same place that they would have fired had it been actually licking, eating an ice cream cone. And it turns out that if you have actually practiced the thing that you're watching, then those neurons fire even more dramatically. So live music, cool stuff. So your stereo is next best. Listening to good music is really important and can be very inspiring, especially if you realize the musician you listened to were once as clueless as you might be right now. So listen as much as you can. And remember, there's that listening list earlier in the book, and you can find it as a free PDF at allabouttrumpet.com. If you like grunge rock, get the best there is and listen to it. If you like speed metal, find the best and listen to it. If you like classical music, find the best symphony orchestras under the best conductors and listen to them. I mean, I could go on and on, but, you know, you get the idea. Find the best music that's out there. How to get better. Beginnings are delicate times. If you're a beginner, it's essential to take things slowly. As a beginner, you're trying to get the hang of a very complex task that involves many different and challenging skills, and it takes time. Stick with it. You'll get it. I have never run into someone who has said, gee, I'm sure glad I quit playing my trumpet. It's always the opposite. Always. Everyone I've talked to said, oh, I used to play, you know, X. I used to play clarinet. I used to play flute. I really wish I had, you know, kept with it. I've never heard someone say, I'm really glad I quit. So one of the things that I do is I tack up encouraging notes to myself. On my music stand, I have a fortune cookie message, which says, be persistent and you will win. As a beginner, your playing sessions might be 10 to 15 minutes, 3 or 4 times a week. The less you play, the longer it will take to get better. Remember this. It seems to be common sense, but I see it all the time with new students. Playing is difficult and unfamiliar, sometimes frustrating at first, and so students don't play much or not at all, and it remains difficult and unfamiliar and frustrating. Pick that thing up and put some sound into it. It'll get easier, I promise. Play as long as you can, but don't push it too hard. Remember that the best indication of when it's time to stop is your frustration or boredom level, or the soreness of your chops. You have your whole life to work on this. Don't be lazy, but don't overdo it either. If you're taking private lessons, the very best time to practice is right after a lesson while that information is still fresh in your head. Record your lesson or take notes if you can't play immediately afterwards. I highly recommend recording your lessons. There's so much information packed into that half an hour that if you can record that, that would be awesome. And recording devices are very cheap. Your instructor may actually record it for you, so check into that option. As you continue to play, you'll become better and better, and the amount of time you spend on your instrument will naturally increase. This will happen for several reasons. You'll be able to play more songs, your understanding of what you need to do will increase, your skill exercises will take longer to go through, and the very best part is it will become more and more fun. But don't beat yourself up. Remember that it usually takes a long time to sound really good, and the progress is incredibly gradual. Anyone who plays an instrument has been a beginner at one point, and let's be honest, beginners make some really funny noises. Squeaks, blats, bellows, and bleats. We've all done it. It's part of the process of becoming better. Have the patience to wait out your frustrations and the funny sounds you might make. Things will get better. I promise they will, but only if you stick with it. Start a new habit. We are creatures of habit. Starting new ones is easy enough, and breaking old ones is sometimes painful. If you can make playing music an old habit, you'll never have to worry. It's a habit you'll never want to break. One way to grow this habit is to choose a specific time to play every day. Have a routine. This will take some time to figure out and will change as you discover what works for you. Try different times of the day. Some people like early mornings and sit in a quiet house with a latte and strum their guitar. Some play right after dinner or after school. Some like to play just before going to bed. This option doesn't work very well for trumpet players unless you live alone and far from others or have a great practice mute. And take at least one day off a week, two at most, to give yourself a rest. Take a hike, read a book, take a swim, a nap, anything. Of course, if you don't want to take a break, that's also a good option. There are no rules. Now, again, recent reading of mine and some recent research shows that most professional musicians, and this is done on classical musicians, most of them practice, do the vast majority of their intense practice earlier in the morning, usually from 9 or 10 until 1, noon or 1. And then they do another session that's a little less intense in the afternoon. This doesn't mean that that's the only time you can do it and that's the best time. It just seems to be that that's what worked for these musicians. So television. My first piece of advice is to throw the time bandit out. No? You're unwilling to do that? Okay, then use it to your advantage. During 1 hour of primetime television, there are over 20 minutes of advertising. That's 20 minutes you could use to play. And besides, you don't need to buy all that stuff people are trying to sell you. Save your money and buy a nicer trumpet instead, or some great recordings. Press the mute button and play. This technique also works best for single people, or those with a good practice mute. There's some people who disagree with this approach, too. They believe that, you know, intense practice should be completely without distraction. There are probably just as many people who actually do this, who play, you know, and practice with the TV on. You know, it helps, especially with some of the boring stuff. So, you know, depends. When in doubt, leave it out. I leave most of my instruments out and ready to play. I have to be careful when I pick one up, because once I do, often it's tough to put it down again. By leaving your instrument out, you can pick it up at random moments and toss off an exercise or a song. If you do this with trumpet, be sure that you have already performed a warm-up at some earlier time in the day. 5 minutes later, you're back to what you were doing before. You can find a trumpet stand at your local music store. Where to do it? When I was a kid and had to practice trumpet, I used the P word on purpose, back then I didn't know the difference, my parents finally ended up sending me to the garage. It sounds cruel, but it was an excellent thing. They didn't have to hear my squawks and blats, and I didn't have to feel self-conscious about making so much noise, repeating a scale for the umpteenth time. When you start to play an instrument as a beginner, your self-image as a musician is very fragile. You'll feel self-conscious, maybe a little silly, and you'll be very aware of how bad you sound. Yes, it's true. You will sound bad at first. That's part of it. For some, it can feel embarrassing, and for others, simply uncomfortable. Only a rare few don't care. If you're one of these, consider yourself lucky. If you do feel uncomfortable playing with others around, the solution is to play when you have lots of privacy, either when nobody else is at home or in a separate building. Even a closed door is better than nothing. Repetition, the mother of success, the father of irritation. Charles Reynolds, a master teacher and man of great enthusiasm, coined the first part of the above phrase, and I added the second. When you're learning to play a song, you must play it over and over and over and over, often hundreds, if not thousands, of times. And not the whole song at once, but measure by measure until you've got the whole thing. Then you get to play the whole thing over and over and over. It's a lot like jet skis. Plenty of fun for the one doing it, but not fun at all for anyone who has to listen to it. Even if you've got the chops of Wallace Roney or Charlie Schluter, the same phrase or scale or exercise played over and over and over again will drive even the most patient person bug nuts. Get a private place to play if you can. Those you live with will love you for it and will enjoy your music more when you're ready to perform it for them. Now, when you do this repetition, it's really important how you actually do it. I mean, if you just repeat something over and over and over again without attempting to improve it, you're not going to get any better. So it's not simple repetition. You know, you definitely have to work at it. And oftentimes when you're doing repeated things, it's good to analyze the music, identify sections that are difficult, the most difficult, and start with those. That way, when you get to them throughout the course of the song, they'll already be there for you when you have. How to do it. There are as many ways to play as there are people who play, but all of them share some similar characteristics. There are certain tools which can make your progress on trumpet much faster. Some of these tools are crucial, some are less so, but all of them will put you further down the road toward trumpet and musical mastery if you use them correctly. Equipment. Here's another musical myth. Arturo Sandoval, a world-renowned trumpet player, man of screaming range and prodigious chops, grew up very poor in Cuba. If you're interested in checking him out, I've got a bunch of videos of his on my YouTube channel, so you can check those out. He was one of the members of the band Irakere, Cuban band, fantastic music in the 70s. Anyway, he wanted to play very badly, and he would walk miles to the next village where someone had a copy of Arben's Complete Conservatory Method for Trumpet, a book that is hundreds of pages long, crammed full of thousands of exercises and songs. It's the trumpet player's Bible. Because he couldn't afford the book, Sandoval kept returning to the distant village until he had the whole book memorized. And I've heard that you can ask him to play a page, and he can still play the whole page. I haven't actually tried this. I don't think I would. But it's a great story. All you really need is your instrument and desire. The rest will come. However, there are some things which will make your experience much more pleasant and more successful in a shorter time. In order of importance, they are: instrument. Get the best instrument you can afford and treat it well. Learn how to care for your trumpet in Interlude 2, Clean Up Your Acts, on page 157. Metronome. Apart from your instrument, this is a most useful tool, and you should get one early and use it often. I'll discuss its use later in this chapter. Music. This is both method books and sheet music and recorded music. Not every playing session will require written music. There are many things that can be done without it. A music stand. There are many different types, from inexpensive $15 wire stands which fit in an instrument case to beautiful and expensive hardwood stands which aren't so portable. A pencil. This will be used to mark up your music with notes to yourself and also to record your sessions if you choose to do so. Keep several in your case so you'll have one when needed. Practice journal. A spiral notebook in which to keep a record of what you play, how long you play, how you feel about your playing. You can have your goals in here, and it's a valuable tool to look back on and to use to plan upcoming sessions. It's not a requirement, but it is a great idea. Many, many, many of the best players do this or have done this. So in the back of this book, or as a free PDF at allabouttrumpet.com, you can find blank photocopyable sheets for a journal. So there are also forms in the back of this book, and again, free PDFs at allabouttrumpet.com to track progress on exercises. So use those. A tape or CD player, an MP3 player, this is a very useful tool, not only to provide good music to listen to, but also something you can play along with. Trying to figure out a favorite song is excellent training for your ear-hand coordination. There are many, many recordings which leave out the trumpet parts, so you can play it. And there are some of these at allabouttrumpet.com that you can find, and so you should go check it out. Some fun stuff. A tuner. A tuner can tell you exactly what pitch you play and whether it's in tune or not. You're now in the world of sound, and a small change of pitch is audible to most listeners. Certain notes on the trumpet are notoriously out of tune. With a tuner, you'll know how much to correct them. For more information, see Basic Trumpet Tuning on page 123. A tape recorder or some sort of portable digital recorder. This isn't essential, but very, very helpful. Hearing yourself recorded is much different than hearing yourself while playing, and you'll be surprised how many mistakes you hear that you weren't aware of while you were recording. The tape recorder tells no lies. You can also use this to record your lessons. I highly, highly, highly recommend doing this. And finally, an instrument stand. This, again, is not essential, but useful. If you leave your trumpet out, you'll pick it up and play more often. My trumpet, guitars, and flutes, and my percussion are usually out on their stands. The ideal practice session. Basic information. A great practice session is divided up into three sections. First is the planning process. This is when you decide what you're going to work on, how you're going to attack it, exactly what you want to do. This is where your goals. So this doesn't involve actually playing the horn. Then there is the actual playing part. And this part also has three steps. One is the warm-up, warming up the horn and yourself, both physically and mentally. Then technical exercises, scale studies and lip slurs and tonguing and just a million other things to work on. And then musical material. So this could be etudes, orchestral excerpts, songs, or whatever it is that you want to perform. And then the third part is a reflection on what you've done. So you're assessing how the work has been. You might listen to what you practiced. You might assess whether you achieved your goals and make a note of where you need to go next. And then this feeds back into step one, the next time you practice, setting the goals, reviewing what you've done, etc., etc. It's important that you rest as much as you play. Trumpet is a physically demanding instrument. The muscles used for trumpet are small muscles that tire easily. Piano players can play for many hours in a day because they're using large muscles, which don't tire quite in the same way that face muscles do. Resting while practicing trumpet is crucial. As a general rule, you should rest as much as you play. Resting means not having the horn on your face. This doesn't mean that you should just stare at the wall while you rest, though. Use your downtime to practice fingerings, tap out a difficult rhythm, sing some of your parts, oil your vowels, or whatever is most helpful. During your playtime, try to be actively learning something when the horn isn't on your face. This is called mental practice. And there's an interesting study done showing that they had trombone players practice with just the instrument, practice just mental practice, practice with the instrument and mental practice, and no practice at all. And they found that the instrumentalists who did the practice with the horn and the mental practice got better, much better, significantly better, in fact, statistically significantly better, than the people who practiced in other ways. So this mental practice is a great and even crucial thing to do. So when the horn is off your face, be doing something. So the best time to practice, as I said, is directly after a lesson. When all that new information is fresh in your head, take the time to go over it again on your own. If there's something you don't understand, write down any questions or problems you may have so your teacher can explain them in your next lesson. If you've recorded your lesson, this is awesome. You know, then you can review that throughout the week as you practice. The pre-warm-up. Anne Morrow Lindbergh said, "A note of music gains significance from the silence on either side." And in that spirit, take a few seconds or a few minutes to sit quietly and think about your progress on trumpet, your goals, and how you will chip away at them during this particular practice session. And you can even write these down. This is an important and helpful way to start your session because it gets you mentally prepared and focused. Then make sure your instrument works properly, you have all you need for the coming session, the metronome, valve oil, music, metronome, mutes, pencil, metronome. Notice metronome? Yeah, don't forget it. A good way to get blood flowing to your lips and to get your air moving is to do the loose lip flap. This sounds a little funny, kind of like a horse whinny or an outboard motor, but it's great for loosening up your mouth and lips. Keep your lips loosely closed and blow lots of air through them. This is not like the buzz because the lips are much looser. Do this for 15 or 20 seconds. Sounds like this. I do a little face stretching too. I just realized when I did that, I stretched my face a little bit, opening my mouth wide, making faces. It's probably not something you want to do in public. Another thing is to take a proper three-step breath and blow warm air through your horn to warm it up. There's some breathing exercises on page 62 that we went over. This will help you think about the proper way to breathe while you warm up the horn. The pitch of a cold horn is lower than the pitch of a warm horn. So if being in tune is important to you, and it should be, the horn must be warm before it can be in tune. Warm up. A warm-up is essential for trumpet players. Not only does a good warm-up get the blood flowing to your chops, a warm-up also gets your mind focused and helps you with your concentration as you go through your session. The following is just general information. We're going to get specific a little further in the practice session details on page 78. Start your session with a buzz. Start buzzing your lips alone. If you're a beginner, just buzz a steady, comfortable note. As your muscles get stronger, you can vary the pitch. Go from a mid-range note to a low note. Go from high to low and low back to high. Experiment. Buzzing on the mouthpiece is also a great way to warm up. Just like buzzing without the mouthpiece, experiment to find your own variations. Keep the range low and the volume medium to loud with little to no pressure on the lips from the mouthpiece. Now, by no pressure, I mean just enough pressure to not, you know, spray spit and air out. So it does need a little bit of pressure. Buzz for a couple minutes till you have no gaps or stops in the sound. If you're unsure about what I mean by this, see Buzz with the Mouthpiece on page 40. Exercises. If a playing session is a meal, this section is the broccoli. You might not like the taste, unless you use lots of cheese, but it's good for you. Do the exercises religiously. It will pay off with increased ability, strength, dexterity, and musicality. This is when you do your scales, lip slurs, long tones, interval studies, chord progressions, whatever your teacher assigns you. Whatever your weaknesses are. You always want to practice to your weaknesses. The list is nearly endless, but your time is limited. Keep time spent on exercises down to about a third or a little more of the total playing session. Don't skimp on this part of your playing session. Dessert is coming up. So for more information about where to find exercises, see Essential Method Books on page 206. You can also find all of these at All About Trumpet at the Trumpet Store. There's just a vast list of personally selected method books that are all of which are excellent. So check those out. The heart of the session. This is where you'll do most of your work. This is the longest part of your playing session, and it's where you're going to work on the song you're learning to perform. You want to use the tuner, the metronome, and the tape or MP3 recorder, digital recorder. So let's start with the metronome. There's a legend about Chinese water torture. I have no idea if it's true, but it makes for a good story. You're strapped down to a table, and above you is a barrel full of water. The barrel has a small hole in it through which a tiny drop of water falls every minute or so down onto your forehead. This goes on for a long time, finally driving you mad. The metronome's kind of like that, only it's actually good for you. A metronome is a mechanical foot tap which keeps perfect time. Each metronome has a series of gradations on it, usually from around 40 to 200 beats per minute, or BPM. The higher the number, the faster the clicks. You set the metronome on the tempo you need, and away you go. Metronomes come in many different shapes and sizes. Because trumpet can be such a loud instrument, there's a type of metronome you don't want, which is the wind-up pendulum variety, like the one in the margins on this page. This is the kind of the prototypical metronome that you see on top of pianos. You know, it has this big pendulum that tick-tocks back and forth, you know, left and right with this large arm. What you want is the electronic variety with an earplug that will send the clicks right to your ear. This is also a good option if you live with others. The repetitive clicks of a metronome can send others to the loony bin. And again, you can find a whole bunch of links to good metronomes at allabouttrumpet.com. Nobody likes being wrong, though, and that's one of the reasons metronomes are probably so neglected. They keep perfect time, and we humans do not. But if you think about it, we learn the most when we're wrong, as long as we're paying attention. So really, being wrong can turn into a good thing. Of course, staying wrong is not a good thing. Use a metronome to fix mistakes in rhythm. And you can use this metronome in many different ways. You can either have it click the beats, or you can have it click on, say, 1 and 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Or, if you're practicing jazz stuff, I often put it on 2 and 4, like scales and things like that. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. You'll find that using a different part of the measure, of the beat in the measure to use the metronome on, will make a certain exercise sound different or even be more difficult. So something to experiment with. So let's talk about how to use it. When you're learning a song, you want to use the metronome on only a short section at a time, several measures at the most, 2 notes at the least, and it's important to start slowly. Whatever you learn is what you will play. So if you set the metronome at a speed which is too difficult, you will learn mistakes. Your brain has no idea. It just will learn what it gets coming into it. So if you're practicing mistakes, that's what you're going to learn. Go slowly enough that you get it perfectly right. So I'm going to break from the text right here. This part is about how to use the metronome. And some of the recent research that I've been reading has changed my approach to using this fairly drastically. So I'd like to tell you about that. The approach that I have in the book is one of the approaches that was used in this research project about using the metronome to practice. And that is gradually speeding up. So you would play a piece and play it slowly enough that you could play it perfectly, give it another click on the metronome, play it again, etc., etc. So you're gradually speeding up. Well, this study looked at that way of using the metronome. It also had a group of people practice very, very slowly and perfectly, and then at performance tempo. So very large changes in tempo, practicing really, really slowly, and then performance speed. Really, really slowly, performance speed. And another group who just practiced only at performance speed with the metronome. And as you might imagine, the third group that practiced only at performance speed did the worst. The interesting thing is that the group who played very, very slowly and perfectly and then performance speed and went back and forth between those two, that group did the best of the three groups. And so in light of that, I've changed my method of using the metronome to practice. And I've adopted this new way. And I believe that it's working for me better than the gradual approach. So when you do this, there may be some situations where you simply can't play it at performance speed, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about one of my experiences doing that in a second. But experiment with this. Experiment with, for example, when I'm playing a certain particular exercise that I'm learning, a 2-5-1 pattern, I start it very, very slowly, get it perfectly, and then immediately go to doing it as fast as I can. Back to slow and fast. And I'm alternating between this. It seems that I'm getting better much more quickly at the fast speed. So try that out. So remember, though, that you're in this for the long haul, and don't bash your head against something for too long. If you come very frustrated or discouraged, go back to a slower tempo and play it a few times before you quit. So William Powell is a Leo Kottke tune. He's a fingerstyle guitar player, and he's just amazing. If you haven't heard him before, you should go check him out. And it was one of the first finger-picking songs, William Powell, this tune by him. It's one of the first songs I learned on guitar, and it was way, way too difficult for my abilities. And I probably shouldn't have chosen it, but I did. And this is the one that I increased gradually, the tempo, because I literally could not play it at even a medium tempo. So I just took a two-measure section, did it incredibly slowly for 2 hours a day, and gradually got each 2 to 4 measure passage up to a decent speed. And I used the metronome to do this and track my progress. And I used the metronome and I learned the song. It took me 6 months to do it, though. So you may not be so foolish as to choose such a hard piece at first, but if you do, using the metronome works very, very well. Try it, play with it, and come up with your own variations. There are no rules. The recording tells no lies. I got my first stereo when I was 11. It had a tape deck with a microphone attachment. This kind of dates me. During my enforced practice sessions, I came up with a plan to get away with not practicing. I'd record something on the tape deck, then turn the volume up and play it back, sometimes twice. That way, everyone in the house would think I was playing. You know, I was probably thinking, ha, that'll show them I'm not actually practicing. But it turns out I was. Listening to yourself play your instrument on a recording is a lot like listening to your voice on a recording. It doesn't sound anything like what you thought it sounded like. Every little wobble and flub and mistake is painfully obvious, or it should be. You know, you should listen. That's what you should listen for. We learn the most from making mistakes. So use some sort of recording device to record yourself and listen for those mistakes. Actively listen for those mistakes. Don't just passively listen. Really get into it. You know, is it expressive enough? Are you blowing through your notes? Are all the notes clear and crisp and in tune, et cetera, et cetera? How's your rhythm? Again, as with the metronome, you know, if you hear mistakes, you got to go back and fix them, right? So try recording yourself. You'll be surprised, and you probably will even like doing it, and you will definitely improve if you're paying attention. So the tuner. You can tune a trumpet, but you can't tune a fish. A tuner is a valuable tool. You'll use a tuner to make sure your trumpet is generally in tune, and also to check all the notes on your trumpet to see whether they are in tune. For all the grimy details about notes that are out of tune on trumpet, see Basic Trumpet Tuning on page 123. The best type of tuner for this sort of thing is an analog tuner, one which has a little arm that swings back and forth to show how sharp or flat you are. If the little arm is straight up at zero, you're in tune. For a picture, you can go to Tuning the Whole Trumpet on page 124. Some guitar tuners will give you a red light for sharp and usually an orange light for flat. This doesn't really tell you how sharp or flat you are. It can be useful, but the better types of tuner are the analog. Visit your local music store for a demonstration so you can decide which one will work the best for you. Most stores will let you try out the tuners in the back room, so take your instrument. Other ways to play. You aren't limited to playing only during your daily session. There are opportunities throughout the day to hone your skills, and you don't even need your instrument. There's always buzzing. You can do it both with and without your mouthpiece. You can buzz along with songs on the radio in the car or at home on your stereo, your MP3 player. Buzz from high to low and back as many times as you can in one breath. Hold the high buzz for as long as you can. Hold the low buzz for as long as you can. Trumpet playing is a very muscular activity, and just like any activity in which muscle strength is important, you have to exercise the muscles to get them stronger. Your lip workout regimen will revolve around the buzz, so don't neglect it. Using only your lips, no teeth, hold an unsharpened pencil out parallel to the ground for as long as you can. If a new pencil is too heavy, try a shorter one at first. This will also strengthen your pucker muscles. When I learn scales, and there are hundreds and hundreds of them, and there's always more to work on, I practice the fingerings when I'm away from the horn. To practice fingerings, you can set up. You can get a set of valves from an instrument at the pawn shop and carry that around instead of the whole instrument, or you can simply do the fingerings on your thumb or on your palm or a pencil. These are just a few suggestions, and use your own brain to think up some other options. There's a lot of downtime in a day that you can use to improve your playing, so check it out. And trumpet is just the beginning. Many famous musicians started on one instrument and continued to learn many others. Lenny Kravitz, Stevie Wonder, Prince, and Beck play all the instruments on their early albums. And I just learned that James Morrison, the fantastic Australian trumpeter, trombone player, sax player, etc., etc., he actually did a big band album, and he played all the parts on the album. Amazing guy. Check out his YouTube videos if you want to see some amazing playing. Beck still does this, in fact. And those three are only a few. There are many, many more. And nowhere is the rule that says you can only play one instrument. Learn them all. A new instrument can light the fire inside of you again. You know, and that first one is the hardest. Once you get some of the basics down, the second, third, fourth instrument is much, much easier. So if you can learn to read music, learning songs on your instrument is much, much easier as well. Music theory is another almost limitless topic, and the more you understand music, the better music you'll be able to make, in some sense. For a good start on music theory, you can get a copy of one of my books, Basic Music Theory, How to Read, Write, and Understand Written Music. And again, you can find links to that at allabouttrumpet.com. On the next couple pages, you'll find warm-ups and sources for exercises. For even more information on music to play, see Where to Start on page 205. You'll find information about songs, etude books, other method books, and other performance pieces to practice during the final third of your playing session. So, have fun. So here we're going to get into the practice session details for trumpet. Starting out, I usually do a warm-up after, of course, the goal setting and the planning and all of that. I do a warm-up on the mouthpiece. And usually I just buzz from low to high. From high to low, also from low to high, but I start from high to low. Usually. Sounds funny, stuff like that. Until I feel that my lips are pretty well warmed up. And as you do this more, you'll get a sense of that. You can do this also with the mouthpiece, which I also do. You can buzz the following exercises, and you can warm up with the horn after you've got a solid mouthpiece buzz. Slide the mouthpiece firmly into the horn and play the following. This is on page 79. And again, with the theory book and this book, you can find these online in their entirety for free at my Scribd website. And it's www.scribd.com/jharnum. And you'll see links to the books there. So you can check all of these exercises out. There's some tonguing exercises. There are some chromatic warm-ups, both very low and then medium range. So that's all the warm-up session part. So practice two, the exercises. And in this one, there are so many things to work on that it's more than a little intimidating to think about, let alone tackle on the horn. But if you chip away at these problem areas every day, you'll be a master trumpet player in a relatively short time. And by relatively short, I mean, I'm talking years, right? This is not going to happen even over 6 months or 1 year. It's a long process. Your teacher will help you wade through the material and help you focus on what you need to work on the most. So it's important to be persistent, practice with intelligence and a critical ear. Use the skills checklist in the codicil, you know, in the back of the book, to keep track of what you need to learn. And again, those are available PDF for free at allabouttrumpet.com. There are so many exercises that there really isn't space to include them all here. This is something you're going to have to work on with your teacher. And you're going to have to get them from other books. This book is just basic stuff. So those books you can find, and there's many, 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 you can find at allabouttrumpet.com at the store. And if you actually have a copy of this book, you can also see those at Essential Method Books on page 206. I still have books that I've had for 25 years and I still use them. So, very, very good resources. So practice part three is the fun stuff. This is the section of your session where you're going to get to play actual songs, you know, finally, right? What a concept. Like the exercises, there are so many options here that it's hard to know where to start. Your teacher will be of great help to you in this. To get a start on sorting through your choices, you can see Unboggling Your Mind on page 205. But written music isn't everything. You know, forget the written music and use your ears. Music is not about notes on a page. It is about sounds and the emotions that those sounds can evoke. So take time during this part of your practice session to play along with a favorite song or piece of music so you can train your ear, finger, lip coordination. Now, technically, you might want to include this in the exercises part, because this is some ear training and things like that instead of the written music part, unless you're trying to learn a song by ear, and that's, you know, this is when you would do that. So be very careful with this, though. It's easy to say to learn a song by ear, and it's not as easy to actually do it. You'll have to play the song you choose over and over and over again, and each time you go at it, you'll figure out a little bit more of the song. As your ear becomes sharper, this will take less time. If you want, you can write down what you discover so that you won't have to relearn it the next time. When you get bored or want to go on to a new song, do it. This will keep you fresh and interested and excited about learning. However, if you always move on before learning a tune completely, this can also be a problem. So try to follow through on a song to completion. A good way to ensure this is to just choose a shorter song or something that you know that you can follow through with. There's a tool called Audacity. In fact, that's what I'm using to record this podcast. It's a free sound production program. If you just run a search online, you can find it. It's very easy to use. There's all kinds of tutorials. In fact, I have a couple tutorials up on my YouTube channel. It's a great tool. You can use it to slow down recordings without changing the pitch. You can use it to change the key of a tune if you want to play it in a whole bunch of different keys. It's just a fantastic free piece of software. So check it out if you haven't got it already. So mistakes and how to deal with them. When you practice, because you're pushing yourself, you are going to make mistakes. What's important is not that you made a mistake, but how you deal with the information. A mistake indicates a place where your abilities are not what they could be. So what are you going to do with this information? Many of us simply ignore our mistakes because it shows us where we're lacking, and few of us are strong enough to really truly face our shortcomings. This is especially true with beginners. Part of that might be because for beginners, it's more difficult to actually perceive what a mistake is. So when you're listening to yourself, you've got to really, really listen and ask yourself, you know, is this correct? And it's too bad that we don't actually go back and fix these, because as far as trumpet playing goes, mistakes are pretty easy to fix. You just got to do it. Repetition is the mother of success. When I'm learning a phrase or passage, I try to play it 10 times perfectly in a row before going on to the next phrase or passage. If I'm working on getting a passage up to a certain speed, I'll play it 10 times perfectly at one metronome setting before increasing the speed. This means that if I mess up on the ninth try, I have to go back to number one again. As the passage becomes more familiar, I might decrease the repetitions to 5. When I make a mistake, I take the same approach. It's not good enough to practice just the note that you missed, but the entire phrase surrounding that missed note. Back up to the beginning of the phrase, which contains your mistake, and play the whole phrase 10 times perfectly. This kind of repetition is really important. If you make a mistake and go back through the phrase just once, odds are that you haven't truly fixed the mistake, and it's very likely you'll make it again. You must fix this mistake many times before the fix sticks. So how good do you want to be? This is an important question. Answer it as honestly as you can, and be prepared to take the steps necessary to follow through with your answer. If you want to be great, you must fix your mistakes. This will take time, effort, and more time. But what are your options? Quitting? No way. So take the time and care that's necessary to play your notes perfectly. It will pay off, I promise. And again, there's nothing wrong with wanting to just, you know, play. I mean, you don't have to be the master of the field. You know, if you just want to play for enjoyment, you know, do that. Practice awareness. Playing correctly is more about awareness than just about anything. Often a student will play a simple passage that is well within their ability, yet they mess it up. When this happens, I point out that the phrase just missed is not difficult and not beyond the student's skill. Then I have them play it again. Often on the second repetition, the phrase is correct and much more beautiful. This is the point where I ask the question, what was different about that time through the phrase? Often the student doesn't know, so I ask, are your skills suddenly better? They shake their heads no. Have you acquired some special ability you didn't have the first time you played this phrase? Again, they shake their heads no. Finally, the student realizes that what is different is their awareness, their concentration level, and their focus. This is often a light bulb experience for many students. Playing music beautifully at your current skill level is more about awareness and focus than anything else. So how aware are you when you play? How much can you focus? So there's some sources for further study. Learning to practice is one of the most important things to perfect. It's really important. Without a decent approach to practice, your road to improvement may become a dead end. Here are some books to help your journey be more fruitful. One is Mind, Muscle, and Music: Physiological Clues to Better Teaching by Frank Wilson. Practicing by Lon Scherer. Systematic Approach to Daily Practice by Claude Gordon. The Art of Practicing, A Guide to Making Music from the Heart by Madeline Bruiser. And there are actually quite a few more resources than this. One is The Musician's Way by Gerald Klickstein. Another, let's see, Barry Green has written several. One is called The Inner Game of Music. Another is called Mastery of Music, I believe. There's a full list and a full, much more full list of books at allabouttrumpet.com that are specifically related to practice. If you just go to either the blog, Practice of Practice, or the link from my new book, The Practice of Practice, you'll find all of those things. And those are, again, on the store as well. So, up next. That was a pretty long chapter, but a very important one. So be sure to come back and review it now and then to be sure you've got it all. Up next is part two, getting into it. You'll find a whole bunch more tips about playing the trumpet in the next part, including things like written notes on trumpet, how to use your tongue, lip slurs, high and low range, endurance, and some simple tunes to play. Lots of good stuff. Thanks for listening. Remember that you can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes or on my blog. And again, you can reach those at allabouttrumpet.com. This work is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0. Have fun. Good luck with your practice.